Everyone, the October 12th meeting of the Code Enforcement Board will now come to order. Madam Secretary, may we have a roll call?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mrs. Howell?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
And Mr. Smart is not here. Ms. Kendrick?
Here.
Here.
I am here. All right, will we have a motion to excuse Mr. Smart until we figure out what's going on? All right, we have a motion, second. Mr. Harrington, go ahead.
Is your microphone on, Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, can we, as a board, send some kind of a message? Find out exactly what's going on.
Or we find out where he is or is he responding to any phone calls or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about that at the end.
Okay.
All right.
Do we have a second?
We have a motion from Ms. Hines and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Has everyone had a chance to read both sets of minutes from August and July?
And actually, Mrs. Hines made me aware of a typo. Unfortunately, in the cover page of her name, there was an R missing. So that's the
where?
One thing.
Where is this?
In the very top. I'm missing an R there. So
okay.
If there's no other changes, if you could approve to that amendment, I'll
Make
sure.
All right. Motion to approve as amended. Mr. Weatherholtz made motion. Mr. Jones, the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Anybody need? That was for July and August. We had no September meeting. So does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communications? Madam Secretary, do we have any announcements?
Yes, Madam Chair. We do have several announcements this morning. A few cases that are in compliance that aren't listed on the agenda and some that are. So I'll go ahead. Excuse me, while my voice doesn't sound right.
Cases that are not on the agenda?
No, they're not listed as compliance on the agenda. So case number one, CE-06178 for 1450 South Palmetto Avenue was compliance October 11th. Number two is in compliance, CEB-061767 for 800 North.
Case number one?
It's on the first page, underneath the lien review.
Oh, okay. So the lien review is LR1.
Right, we're still,
correct.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Number two on page two, CEB-061767 for 800 North Atlantic Avenue, compliance September 26th. And we'll skip to page 5. Number 16, CEV-081796 for 404 McGee Street, compliance September 27th. Number 17, CEV-081797 for 831 Pinewood Street, compliance September 19th. And we're going to skip to page 8. Number 33, case CEB-091712 for 101 South Peninsula Drive, compliance October 3rd. Number 35, case number CEB-091722 for 608 Lily Drive, compliance September 21st. On page 9, number 36, CEB-091723. Address 609 Willie Drive, compliance September 19th. Page 10, number 43, case number CEB-10-17-128 for 1049 Peter Road, compliance October 9th. Page 11, number 46, case number CEB-10-17-131 for 14 South Coates Street, compliance October 11th. And that is all.
Okay. Now, case number 52, We're going to, I'd like a motion to continue the case because the respondent is unable to be here, but he wants to be here due to health concerns. That would be case number CED 1017-137 at 142 South Wild Olive Avenue. May I have a motion to continue the case? Mrs. Hines made the motion. A second?
Aye.
Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Hi, everybody. Before we start, I just want to say we have a lot of cases, as you can see here. We'll take a break at 11 o'clock if we're not finished by then. At that time, if you are here to have your case heard, if you will come up and see the secretary right here, police board secretary, we'll take your cases in order of the people that are here so you don't have to sit through cases where no one shows up. But we will do it in order, starting with old cases.
At 11.
And I'm going to give everybody a chance to be heard, so I just want this to move along swiftly, though. All right. Would our code officers please come forward and be sworn in? All right, here's our procedure. We'll be calling cases by number and for the most part in order that are listed on the agenda. If there are any police that need to get back on duty, we'll hear their cases first. If there are attorneys that need to get to court, we will also hear those first. Do we have any? Okay. And any police? No. Okay. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak directly into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. Okay. All right. Now, are we ready? We're going to start with our lien review. Lien review 1, case number CED 04-17-34. Respondents here? Please come forward. Good morning. State your name and address for the record, please.
257 over there.
Can you state your name, please?
Jeff Beasley.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, we'll hear from our attorneys first. Then we'll give you a chance to respond. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This was the main review before you, and I guess the main point that I would want to make on this is that there was a no building permit for roof work. A lien of $100 per day was imposed, which was a very reasonable, fine, that ran for 137 days and ultimately resulted in this lien now of $13,756. The city staff has recommended a reduction to 50% of the lien, and I know part of this issue is, I think I need to look to the inspector if there's any other information about it.
Okay.
I haven't been here for the last two meetings.
Okay. Dan?
Good morning. Cordo
Garcia.
My credentials on file. This is a case where Mr. Selby had owned this property, had a property manager he had hired to take care of the tenant issues on the property. There was in the rear of this building was a leak where the property manager, she admitted to me that she had taken it upon herself to fix it herself without a permit. I told her they needed to get a permit. I sent out the notice, and she was then let go after a while, and then no permit was obtained until just recently, which now became under a new owner because he had sold the property. That's where we're at now.
Okay. What would you like to tell us?
Yeah. I just explained, so I'm not here in out of country. My mother is expired recent in hospital 6 months last. So after that as well, so I will come here before the sales standard. Some leaking is coming and...
Could you speak into the microphone? I can't hear you at all.
So the standard is the self is the covering the roof. Is actually the roof is leaking. So standard is the self just covering in the leaking. After that, when I will come here, I'm to apply the permit, and after that, I'm to pay the all everything sort of the problem now. So it's my problem and my country. It's my problem for the family problem. So and this time is okay. So I just request so this is not for me.
Danny, I'm not quite sure. Let me ask you a question. I'm not quite sure I understand. This was the person that owned the property?
Correct. He owned the property at the time.
The whole time?
Correct.
Okay. And you said something about a new owner or a new tenant?
He recently sold the
property. Well, wait a minute. Let me hear from Danny. Then you can speak.
Okay. He was selling the property. I'm not sure now if he sold it. He told me he sold it. So it may be still under contract. But nevertheless, the permit was not at hand at the time. Now it is between him and the buyer or new owner will be. So between them two, they obtained the permit, they fixed the roof, and is now in compliance.
Okay. So do you own the property still?
Still is my name.
Okay.
I want to still on my old property. Actually,
okay.
I'm moving in my country.
Okay.
Actually, my wife is not happy for her. So I want to go to back in the country and to sell all properties. So it might have only two properties, my house and my another house.
Uh-huh.
So I want to go back. But this time it's not my fault. If the tenant is just covering the roof. So it's a temporary roof covering. After that, when I will come here after 11 months, so I will remove everything. And so contracting roofing company, this time is okay everything. So I just request, the tenant is not for me, please, I just request.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the board?
Yeah.
Any comments?
On the statements, Inspector, you're saying that it's in compliance now.
That's correct. It's now in compliance. Permits were full. Then the roof was properly repaired by the contractor.
And the reason that it wasn't repaired is because a management company was supposed to do it, and
A property manager did the repair without a permit instead of a contractor doing the repair with a permit at that time. And that was before the hurricane.
All right. Staff has recommended that reduce this lien 50%.
Payable
in 30 days. What would that amount be? Ms. Hampton?
Madam Chair, just saw that the nickel and dime is $6,500.
Okay. That's fine. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $6,500, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. Himes. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carried. Okay, we've reduced the loan. You see Ms. Hampton, she'll tell you what to do next. Okay, we've ruled.
Did you announce that was the 30 days for
trial? Yes, I did. we're finished with this case now. We've ruled and voted. We reduced it 50%. How much? 53%. All right, well. All right, case number one is compliant. Case number two is compliant. We'll move on to case number three. CEB 11-15-58. We're here for a progress report from Daytona Beach Club Condo. Good morning, gentlemen. State your name and address for the record.
William Turcotte, 4700 Maple Lane in Edgewater. I'm the contractor for the owner.
Steve Merchant, 9451 12 Run, Orlando. I'm the president of the board for Daytona Beach Club.
Stephen Polk, Daytona, North Atlantic Avenue, Daytona, and the vice president.
Okay, we're just here for a progress report. I'm sorry.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It's just a progress report, our regular report to see the status and actually may even determine the ultimate compliance.
Okay. Wow. Good morning.
We're making great project on the progress on the project. If you know the structure, there's an east building and there's a west building. At this point, by the end of next week, the west building will be substantially completed. The upper parking area, where a vast majority of the structural damage was, will be completed by the end of next week as well. At that point, all we're going to have left is the lower garage area and the east elevation of the east building. So right now, we're planning completion no later than the end of January 2018.
Okay.
So
we're
really getting
great. Good. I know, it's been a huge project. I love the color. It looks good. I have to go by it every day. So, okay. All right. Well, what do we want to set a compliance date now, or do you want to come back in 2 months? That would be what, December?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's already scheduled.
We'll come back. Why don't you come back in December? Hopefully, we'll be able to set the compliance date then. Yeah. Okay. We'll do it that way. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Okay. Moving on to case number four. CED 08-17-100, Kenneth Bueno at 205 Fremont. Good morning.
My name is Kenneth Bueno. I live on 205 Fremont Avenue, Daytona Beach.
Can you raise your hand, please, sir, and solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, we will hear from our attorney first and code enforcement officers, and then I'll give you a chance to speak. Mr. Jeff.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reconzone. Mr. Reconzone reports that the property remains in non-compliance, but due to the hurricane, there were some issues that Mr. Bueno appears to be working in good faith, but not completed, and so the inspector is asking that we amend to the next cutoff so he can give him some sort of compliance. And I would turn to Mr. Reckonville if you have any facts or questions.
Okay.
Yes, I have a question. Have you seen any paperwork that indicates that there was a contractor involved before the hurricane?
The stuff that was on top of the roof, if you can see in the picture there, it's all been removed. So when it comes to the work without permits about building the new roof, all the work has been removed. And that was
it's all been removed, but no contractor signed to complete the work.
No. There was no contractor, and it was work without permits.
Okay.
So when he removed all the stuff off of the roof, that where he was trying to build the roof, he's removed all that and brought it back to.
When was that done?
Well,
before the hurricane.
Yes, sir.
and there's, but you know of no contractor signed?
No, there's no contractor on the site.
And are there any permits pulled?
No, at this time.
No.
The only thing that we have now is the outside storage. And I believe the number is on the property.
So just for clarification, Mr. Representative, you're saying then that there are no contracts needed for the status he's in right now?
Correct.
No, there's no permits, I'm sorry.
No permits needed for the work that still needs to be done. When he removed the...
Okay.
When he removed the...
So he doesn't need...
Okay. That part of it is in compliance.
But he will need a contractor to complete the work.
No.
No?
But I'm not following you then.
The roof, he was trying to build a new roof. When I stopped him and told him that he needed permits, I sent him a letter. And after the hearing, the first hearing, he's removed the roof. Removed the structure that he was building to build.
Okay, so the old roof is adequate.
So the old roof is adequate. And there's no permits needed because there's no other work in it. All he has to do is remove the outside storage.
What is left to be done then?
That outside storage has to be removed.
Okay.
But what you're saying is he didn't remove anything off of the existing roof.
No, everything is. There was an actual structure built on top of this flat roof. He was trying to make an arch roof. All that has been removed, and it's back to the flat roof. And all that outside storage right there in the back, that blue part, all that. That still is what needs to be removed. Yes.
Okay. Alright, thank you. Would you like to speak, sir?
Yeah, I put a railing on top of my house,
mm-hmm.
a 4-foot high railing, and I was going to make the roof slope roof.
Okay.
So since they deny my permit, I removed them because I thought that it's going to be stronger than whatever the code is going to be,
okay.
because this is an aluminum railing that I was going to put. And I was going to put the new type of roping, the metal kind, and they deny my permit, so I had to remove it.
Right.
But now I found out something better, which is I will be putting a roll of like a shingle kind, but it come out on a roll, and I'll just spread it, and I needed 6 of them to complete the roof. Now I have somebody to help me that we will be signing a contract for 4 months,
okay.
This one
okay.
I should not need any permit because it's just a shingle that I'm gonna be putting.
Well, you should ask the code officer about that.
Okay.
About whether you need
and
a permit or not. We're not here to tell you what you need. But right now you are in compliance except for removing the trash. Correct?
Yeah.
All right. When are you going to remove the trash?
I need 120 days to remove the turfing there because I have a chicken coop that I built and I had to remove that. But because of the accident that I had that I can only use one arm, my left arm, I had a T-bone accident and I'm not able to use my left arm yet, so I had somebody to help me.
Do you live there?
Say again?
Do you live there?
I live there, uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. And I can only cook like a table at $200 a month.
Uh-huh.
And so this is the contract that I will be having with him to help me to clean that chicken coop that I have in
And it will take you, you just said it would take you 3 months?
That because he worked, and it will take only like 2 days. Yeah. 2 days a week. So,
uh-huh. So that's an awful long time.
Well, can I ask 90 days?
I don't know. We'll see what the board thinks about this.
Okay.
Any?
I appreciate this. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments from the board?
I think that, you know, the 120-day extension, I think that, you know, the realistic in 30 days?
I agree. It's not 90 days we're talking about. This is what, in May? They have from May to...
I had an accident, and it's been 1 year this Sunday, and I may go for surgery next month because of the tear that the MRI found on my shoulder. So this is the thing that I wanted to extend a little bit longer.
Mr. Jones?
It's a neighbor complaint.
I don't know.
Yes?
Yes. It is a neighbor complaint. Go ahead. What?
Neighbor complaint only that she can... crowing in the morning, but I got rid of
the neighbor complaint. You would respect the neighbor when we're discussing all this.
Madam Chair, if we could just be heard on one aspect of that, I think the inspector needs to
give
a more complete understanding of those.
The pictures you see, you can't really see in that picture, but the tarp area, that's almost two stories high of tarp and structure behind the house. Whatever he has underneath that tarp, that's almost two stories high. That fence is an 8-foot fence, or a 6-foot fence. And this is from the street. It hits a lot of stuff in the backyard.
All right, I'm looking at this first notified May 15th.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I don't think what we're saying, though, is that we believe that he needs 4 months. It may be reasonable to say that the rest of the next crop may be a little short since it's a little less than a month, and that additional time may be reasonable, but nothing more than that.
So the cutoff date after the November cutoff date is 12/6. All right. Okay. So we're amending the previous order of non-compliance, and this is the motion allow to come into compliance and allow respondent until 12/6/2017.
That was Mrs. Hines' motion.
That was Mrs. Hines' motion. Is there a second? No, it's coming back. We're amending that.
Amending compliance date.
Compliance date.
We're supposed to be imposing a fine to that, so why isn't that carried over?
I think she's saying she's giving him more time.
We're giving him more time to complete the work.
If he doesn't do it, then will we be able to...
Then he will be coming back here for the December meeting. If that's too long, I mean, we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second to the motion? Well, then I say that motion dies. So let's have another motion.
Hey, I just would like to clarify. If he comes back, can we make a motion?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, all we're doing is amending.
Well, that's all we were doing. We're not doing anything right now.
Right. No, right. There's no motion right now. Okay.
So I would like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
We extend the time for compliance to 12/6, and at that time, if it is not done, we will impose a fine.
Right.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. So you have 2 months, sir, to get that done, is what we're giving you. Okay. Let's move on. All right. Case number 5, CEB 07-17-81, Beach Apartments, LLC. Respondent present? No? I know he was here last time, and there was an architect here last time. Mr. Lee. Yeah. So neither of these people are here.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll hear from staff.
Madam Chair, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector, Jerry Sanders, indicates that there's a need for additional time, and I will send to Mr. Sanders so he can express to you what's next.
Okay.
Good morning.
Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Beach, Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file. I spoke with the architect on the property for the owner. He has lost his contractor, but he has all his plans put together, and he asked for 30 more days to get his permit and contractor, and I have good faith that he'll get that done.
What has he been doing since December of last year?
Well, we brought it forward. He was working without a permit on this property. We stopped work, and then he got an architect like we asked him. The architect just put the drawings in and had the drawings complete. Now he's going into the permit phase.
Is there anyone living in this?
No. It's vacant structure.
Is this the one that had the neighbor that's always complaining about? Are there two buildings involved with this?
There's actually just one right now.
Do we have any pictures of this so we can be reminded of the case? I mean, in August, we didn't have a September meeting, but in August we were told there was good progress being made, correct?
Yes, there was. He had to put all his drawings, David Lee, the architect, and he had to put all his drawings and plans together. And that's what he did. He had all his drawings put together, went through the planning department, all that's been approved. Now he's in the permit stage. He's going to apply for all his permits to get the structure taken care of.
Did the previous contractor get a permit? Was there a previous contractor on
here? The contractor he had assigned to this project just up and quit him. So he never started. He never got the permit. So he's in that phase right now. Okay. To just take
so
the
you got the contractor. The contractor never pulled the permit.
Never did. Not on this project here. But he is in the process of getting his next contract for all of
it. Can I see those pictures again, please?
Let me see. Hang on.
Oh, that's not good. Okay.
But while he's getting the picture, this particular month, I think if the architect was in earnest about this, I think that somebody would have been here to leave. I think if this was dragged on for a long period of time, and something needs to be done now, not postponed.
The first notified a year ago.
Yes.
Yeah, basically.
What are we looking at?
This is the structure itself. I mean, this is when I stopped work order. He was, the owner. This is before the architect came in. The owner was trying to fix the structure up without permit, so I stopped him, and then he did stop. He got his architect. The architect drew everything up to make it right without tearing the whole structure down, so it's sound. It's just got to be rebuilt now.
Yeah, because the last time it appeared, the architect said that he was going to certify everything that was done in there.
Correct.
And that he basically had everything then.
Yes. He had everything wrapped up.
And so all he needed to do is apply for a permit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They didn't. Regardless of whether the contractor was there or not, they did not go for the permit. So I think that this is one of the things that keeps carrying on, and just give them more time. I don't think it's an issue here. I think we should go forward with somebody to find.
Did he tell you that he was not going to be here today?
He asked if he had to be here, and I told him to give me the progress report because it was my understanding it was a progress report.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
No, for an imposition of a fine.
Okay, that was clearly my fault.
Yeah.
But he requested just a little bit more time to get that done because his contractor did drop out on him. So.
Is this in a redevelopment zone?
It is.
Yes.
And I feel if we find him at this point without this 30 days, then it's really going to hurt him because he's really trying to get the property
you know, take care of.
Well, he says he is.
Well, I'm speaking with the architect, and that's what I'm going
to. Go ahead.
I'm a little concerned because there may be some miscommunication between the officer and the individual. I don't want to find somebody who'll come back to us and say, I was told that there's going to be a progress report, and I'm going to get 30 days. Can't guarantee anybody.
Do we have a computer record?
Excuse me?
Told for a progress report?
He just told us that he
did it. I didn't hear what he just told us. I've got to be err on the side of caution. Just get them here at the next meeting. If they're not here, they're going to do anything they want. As opposed to they stay this
meeting. Well, I think,
may not be.
I think we've had enough caution.
Well, he's saying he might have told him that it was part of the board.
He may have told him, but the board didn't know it.
And it does not say that in the communication here on the agenda or any place else that this was just a progress report.
Sure.
It says action to be taken, impose fine.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think the inspector's sworn testimony is that he may have miscommunicated it, but maybe he read it wrong
okay.
or misunderstood
okay.
it, miscommunicated it. A suggestion, or as Mr. Steele was saying, is that if it's continued, would you still be able to find back to the state if you believe that that's the appropriate thing to do? So perhaps continuing it as an imposition of fine proceeding and making a determination at the next meeting would be at least more prudent in terms of the due process concern.
I would like the officer when you come back, if we pull out that, some specific documented things that have been done. So rather than coming and saying he's making progress on this particular case, I would like to know exactly what the progress.
It doesn't look like anything's been done to me.
Nothing's been done to the property physically.
Since? For almost a year.
Well, that hence the stop work. He was doing something to it. We stopped him because he
What was he doing to it?
He was shoring up the inside structure and rebuilding the inside, doing plumbing work. He was doing all kinds of work without it. So once we stopped it, he took the right step and got his architect like we told him. The architect is the one I'm communicating with, and he is the one saying that he's got everything packaged. He just needs to get to the permanent stage, and that's what, you know, that's what he's wanting to know if we could do for him.
So, Madam Chair, whatever hearing is, if we give the 30-day extension, if he does not show up or come back to us, then we can go back to today's
rent
with a fine.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Because I'm going on good faith with this
okay.
office.
All right. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until November 1st.
Oh. You're pushing the compliance date to November 1st and then you have to backdate it.
So what are we doing?
If you want to continue with the current status, then you would be able to find back to today's compliance. There was the October 4th compliance date.
Now, I'm sure my recommendation is that the board continue. That's what I was requesting.
Okay.
To the next
A motion
next
to
meeting.
Continue the case until the next meeting, which is next November meeting. What is it?
The 9th.
The 9th of November, and at that time, if the respondent is not in compliance, the fine will become retroactive until today's date.
We'll have the opportunity to impose the fine retroactively.
Okay, all right. All right, we will have an option to make the fine retroactive until today's date. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Heim. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case number 6, CEB 08-17-1. 2023-92, the Nottingham Trust. At 220 South Wild Olive. Is the respondent present? All right, we'll hear from staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a progress report and determination of compliance. And the inspector is Ms. Sanders, and Mr. Sanders, I will send you Mr. Sanders to you to give you this setup.
Okay. Mr. Sanders.
Morning again.
Good morning.
I spoke with the owner on this property at 220 South Wild Olive. She's had a lot of trouble getting this tenant out. It has caused her a lot of trouble. She sent an email apologizing to the city and the board, and you know, she has since got the guy out. I've been to read the picture. She's boarded everything up. Well, that's, can we go back one, please? Keep going. Right there. She's boarded everything up and all the trash is removed from the outside of the house. Now, she couldn't make it today and she was very apologetic for that, but she did send me an email. And she said she's coming down next week to make a determination whether she's going to demo or try to rebuild the house. At this point, she hasn't been inside to see the damage because she just got some tenants out.
So the tenants are out.
They are out.
They are legally evicted.
They are legally evicted. The trash problems are stopped now.
Okay.
And we've worked quite hard to try to get that done.
Uh-huh.
There were several calls towards the for the police to come out, and you know, we've had numerous trash pickups for this place because it was a patient thing. We couldn't just run in there and yank him out because she had to go through her process.
Is there a no trespass warrant? Has she issued a no trespass warrant?
I spoke with her and told her her next step needs to call Daytona Beach Police Department and get signed up on the arrest and trespass site and post the property until she makes her determination to keep people out of this house because it is, you know, at this point, you know.
Is this the case where her nephew came up from South Florida to help?
Yes, he came up and he did a cleanup, and within a matter of days, it was back to the same condition. There were 12 to 14 people staying in it, at not one time, but they were just transients in and out. And you know, so I think what we're going to do now is see what her determination is next week. She's either going to take it down or she's going to...
So she doesn't live in town?
No, she lives in Boston.
This is in the redevelopment area.
Yes, it is.
All right, we are here today, action to be taken, for a progress report and determination of a compliance date.
I'm recommending 30 days to get the permit to decide what she's going to do, whether it be fix the house or demo.
Will it? Well, all right, that's fine with me.
I think that, you know, whatever the next cutoff date is.
Is she here now, or is somebody representing in town?
She sent me an email, and
who's going to apply for these permits?
I will make her aware of it this afternoon when I make contact with her.
Okay, that might be difficult to get any kind of permit by the next cutoff.
Well, the thing about it, she doesn't know whether she's going to need a permit or not.
She'll need it. She'll need one either way. She demolishes, she'll need a permit. She repairs. I don't... Okay.
Can I hear that in 30 days she will be able to tell us one way or the other?
Hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah.
And whatever the next cutoff date would be, that may to let us know what's going to happen.
Yes, please. also like to see not only a compliance date for next month, but also to have the property posted, legally posted. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We just discussed that, and when the inspector emails her this afternoon, I'm going to include the trespass arrest type paperwork.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Madam Chair, just a little clarification. I think that we may be just a step ahead because there are things that have to be done on this property that we can see and know. But as far as what's been cited for the violation, it's junk trash and debris on the property, how we can make sure it's covered, sold out of the garage. So the only thing that's really remaining is, of course, is how we again, which will be a reoccurring situation, and the makeshift cover that's installed on the garage. So it's not a permanent issue, it's just the next cutoff they should be able to do what's remaining to get this thing in compliance. Of course, if they need to be cited for other things, fall on the inspectable site,
okay,
done accordingly. But the only thing remaining is the remaining, removing this makeshift garage.
Thank you. That does clarify it.
That does clarify it. So it seems pretty straightforward then. The Chair will entertain a motion for the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of 11/6 or be returned to the board for a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Is the cutoff date the
6th
or the 1st?
I think it's the 6th. No, 1st, sorry.
First.
You're right, correct. Thank you. All right, motion, Mr. Harrington, moved it second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, case number 7, CEB05-17-44. Respondent present? I think so. Somebody's coming up. Hello. This is at 714 East International Speedway Boulevard.
Good morning. Can you state your name, please?
Gally Elgrim. I'm the owner of the property.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll hear from staff first, and then we'll give you a chance to talk.
Excuse me. Is this a commercial property?
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Hopkins has been here before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, members of the board, as you indicated, this is something that's been before you. Mr. Hopkins has been here. They had two issues. One was the installation of the removal and force, which was without permits. They took care of that some time ago. And then we had no permits for paving the parking lot. And we're waiting on a development order. I do have an email that was received as, well, this is really an update some time ago that said that the planning department will be issued, and they did, they issued a final development order. And so the inspector's reporting that the development order has been issued, and what's remaining is they just need to have pull permits and get the work done. The inspector is recommending that permits get pulled immediately and that they should be able to have this work done by next call. And so we're asking that you amend to the next call for the
okay.
Be
final
right.
Any questions from the board? Comments?
Why didn't you apply for a permit when you initially started all of this?
Right, last year after the hurricane, the property was done, there was 60% of it was already paved. So the company came in that Florida insured and they said the program estimate only has 40% needs to be done. We're going to do it for you. We're going to go pull the permit. We're going to do everything. I'm like, fine, go ahead and do it. He said, all right, we're going to get started. I'm going to the city to pull the permits and everything.
Okay.
Next thing you know, that's what happened. And I mean, it's a big company. I mean, I don't know. The company, but they're not approved in, learned later on that they're not approved in the Volusia County. They're only approved in some other county in West Palm or something. I've heard games, you know what I mean? And they got me. That's the only reason. I didn't do it myself.
And just for, if I was to clear when I said it the first time, they have had a development order to be able to pull a permit, so they just got the development order. That's what they had the Hopkins working on, and that's just been a thing.
So the development order took how long?
I'm not sure, but according to the letter we received from the city, the site plan has been approved,
yeah,
but we cannot pull any permits until we have a pre-construction meeting. That hasn't occurred yet, and I have the letter with me.
How long have you been negotiating with the city?
Personally, not me. All right. Mr. Joseph Hoffman's been working on it.
How long is this? It takes months to pave half a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm willing to start the work today, but Mr. Hoffman's waiting for a pre-construction meeting. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Any other comments?
With the CB engineer last month came in, and you know, and he had set a plan for the city, mostly for the drains and everything, and he said he was in the process of doing that. Now we're coming, and you know, it takes a certain amount of time to go through the city, plan review and everything. And I'm surprised that it hasn't already started, because it was a pretty simple drainage, and now we hear again, you know, I mean, the lot is already taken. They started it without a permit, and then the city shut them down, so that's the course of events. And here we said again, you know, we still don't have anything done, or correct procedures being done.
Go ahead, Mr. Adams.
Yes, my understanding is where we left off, or where we are now, is that the development order was issued last month.
Right.
And so what we don't know anything about the construction meeting he's talking about, but our understanding from permits is what's left is for them to pull a permit and get the work done. And it's really much more just the appearance type stuff, because as indicated,
I have the letter right here.
Okay, that's fine.
We
believe.
I feel on this, the delay apparently is not the defendant's problem.
Correct.
I mean, it's the city's.
Okay. All right, so that being the case, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent to come into compliance by November 1st. Or be returned to the subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Yeah, I'll move.
All right, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. You have till next month to get your permit and get going.
So I can go ahead and pull permit.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Case number 8, CEB04-17-15, Norman Riley at 340 Taylor Avenue. Respondent present, please come forward, state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Good morning. Kelly Riley, 1132 Lake Victoria Drive. Should I tell you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Jackson, hear from you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector just informed me he was able to get pictures this morning and satisfy himself that the property is now in compliance. We were anticipating and worked on damage that rose from the hurricane that was going to delay it, but that appears to be all cleaned up according to the inspector, and he announces the property in compliance as of today.
Wow.
Now,
we appreciate that. Go ahead, Mr.
Good morning. I'd like to show for the city of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. This is the before. This is now. This is before. This is now. This is before. Now.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right, so the property is in compliance. End of discussion. We'll move on. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
I can do an affidavit.
Yeah, the inspector will prepare an affidavit and make sure it's in the file.
Okay. Good.
Isn't that what happens? Well, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Case number 9, CB08-17-91. William and Myrna Henry. It's Shangri-La Drive, 1319 South Shangri-La. Respondents present? They weren't here last time either. Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I guess first of all, this is before the position of a fine. The inspector is Danny Garcia. I think something notes from Mr. Garcia is that the respondent has indicated to him that he feels he didn't have money to fix it up and then he was going to solve a problem. So it really has to take much interest in the code action. And so where we are today, it remains in non-compliance. We're asking for a $250 day fine to a maximum of $10,000. And I'll send Mr. Garcia.
Okay,
Danny.
Go ahead, Mr.
Question.
Garcia.
Danny Garcia, Colton, Special Daytona Beach, credentials on file. This is the property in question. As you can see, those were before, and it continues to get worse since after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no contact at all with the owner. I did speak to him one time, and it was before the last board hearing, and he stated that he was not going to make the repairs and that he was going to try to sell the house.
Okay, fine. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved to the maximum of $10,000. There's such motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 10, CEB04-17-20. Irvin White at 240 DeSoto Street. Respondent present? I saw him come in. Yeah, okay. Please come forward and be sworn in. Good morning.
Is everyone going to be testifying?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and speak. If y'all could please state your names and I'll swear you in.
Irvin White.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, we'll listen to, we'll hear from staff, Ms. Jackson and Mr. McCoy.
Do we have any pictures on this property?
Yep. Okay, Mr. Jackson, where are we here?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this has been before you on a couple of occasions now, and there's a couple of issues. Most recent, I think we were looking at one point that, and again, this is with me physically asking, but having this back on the record, is that we were looking at an issue that was more related to possibly an inability to be built because of the rule, and then that decision had been, was going to be at least considered at a review. The contractor failed to show up here at the plan review meeting with staff. At the property since they part of the review of our demolition, I'm not sure what it's titled. Building rehabilitation inspector. The status of the property now is that it's been posted for demolition. So we're asking to give them the next cutoff to to resolve that with demolition. So that's the request of the staff. And I will send to Mr. Fitzgerald if you have any questions, as well as the inspector, Jerome McCoy, the one available to you if you have any questions.
How long is the
bond
issue for demolition?
Does that have to go to four or five boards or anything? To
good morning, Michael Fisher. December of 2016.
I see that it was first notified December of 2016.
Jerome.
Been working on this for a year.
Jerome Cook, code enforcement, credentials on file.
Yes, it has been going on since December.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Now, what are we to rule on here? That he has a demolition permit, or that it be demolished with a certain time, and we can get a permit and then not do it? So how can we assure that something is actually done?
What we're just saying, just for clarity, is that compliance from the perspective of staff is that the property needs to be demolished, and demolition will require demolition permit. We're not asking you all to order the permit. We're asking you to order and come to compliance. Mm-hmm. But what it's going to require is that we obtain a demolition permit.
Right. Okay.
Look, see, the issue with this, it has come up that he applied for a permit, and that the zoning issue was whether it was single family, it was trapped in the area,
correct,
and he wanted to make a duplex out of it. And he came up with a list of, I think, $14,000, if I remember, somewhere in that neighborhood to rehabilitate this house, which I, being a contractor, I questioned. But now with the city, they've taken action that they refuse the permit, and they put a demolition order.
Right. Right.
That
is what's happening.
So
what we're going to do is, Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until... I'm sorry. Would you like to speak?
So the issue here is that we have been able to get
to
repair this.
Correct.
We've been trying to get the permit since June.
Yes, we
know. The first issue we had was with the permit office. No one would give our contractor who's here today or my dad any information.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally, after me making some emails, I finally got somebody to respond to me. You were never notified that this property has been placed on a demolition list. We just had a meeting with them on the 24th October for the permit issue. So if they put it on a demolition list and they decline the permit, why last Monday we had to come up here at 10 o'clock in the morning to discuss the issues that we had with the permit? And it required us to bring additional paperwork that we had to pay for from the engineer stating that this building can be repaired. But now you're coming in from the demolition list. So why we had to do this last week if you knew it was on the demolition list? And I called Mr. Fitzgerald on the 4th as well, and he never returned my phone call when I found out that this and I'm only here because since June, they have been giving my father the runaround. And so he doesn't have a computer, he doesn't have a cell phone, so the only thing he knows how to handle the business is by in person. And I'm frustrated because it doesn't make sense. Everybody works in the same building and nobody can give us an answer. If you put this building on the demolition list, why do we have to go pay an engineer stating that this can be repaired?
I'm going to let staff answer that question. I can give you my understanding is that because there is a rule that when a property, it's called the 65% rule, if it is damaged beyond 65% value.
It's not damaged over the 65%. And when I asked how they determine that something is damaged over 65%, I still haven't got an answer for that.
Madam Chairman, we have no...
And we cannot.
And that's what I'm saying. You guys we have to be brought in so we don't face a fine. But what I'm trying to get clarification is that the other side of Daytona Beach is not working with us to have it solved. So the blame is being placed on my father with this fine, but we can't do anything if we cannot get answers. And every time we come to this meeting, that's when we find out we have to do something else. So we thought we were at compliance because I have an email with what they were, well, not compliance, but I'm talking about with the permit office. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I have an email as of last week stating what they requested for us to get this permit. All that has been turned in, and now they're saying they're denying the permit. But no one has ever told us that the permit has been denied. So we're coming here in good faith thinking, oh, all we need is a permit to repair this building, but you're saying that's not even an option.
I remember a couple months ago this rule was discussed.
Yes, because I think Mr. Bryant was here then. And he also, he gave our lawyer incorrect information. He said we had to go through a he came to this meeting and told our lawyer who came that we had to go to the development and administration services. That's incorrect. I called them. They don't have nothing to do with this. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's proof that they are giving us the runaround, but we are getting the blame for it, which is fine and demolition. But they are the ones who are, like, everybody is doing something to change the story. So if Mr. Bryant looked at him, why would you send our lawyer paperwork that we didn't even have to do for this? That's a whole other month we wasted. And this was back in July.
Ms. Jackson, can you either reply to this or this is an hard judgment call
right.
as to who did what and when they did
right.
it.
I'd like to call Ms. Wilfaski to speak to the issues regarding the meeting and Mr. Fitzgerald to speak to the issues regarding
okay.
the demolition. So, this afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rose Askew. Right, you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Rose Askew. I'm a planner with the city. I work in development services. I have been in communication with the contractor and with Mr. White's daughter. When it came to our attention that there was an issue with the permit, I talked to initially Mr. Lucas, and he told us the information provided on the sheet that had the cost was not accurate.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lucas is the contractor?
Mr. Lucas is the contractor. He told us that information was not accurate. It did not include his costs that were going to be included for repairing. And there were some other things not included. He told us the cost for the roof was more than what was listed on there. So what I asked Mr. Lucas to do was provide us with a new list that he got signed and certified that was what the cost was going to be because it did not match what was on the permit. The list we got was the exact same list he had given us, and he signed it and put a date on it for last week, which was not accurate also. I also talked with Mr. White's daughter, and she told me she had not been able to get a meeting, so I coordinated setting up a meeting to meet with the contractor, Mr. Lucas, and the property owner, Mr. White. That meeting was supposed to occur last Friday at 10 a.m. Again, the contractor did not show up, so we could not have the meeting. So we have been trying to work with them, but there's only so much we can do when the people we're trying to work with are not providing what we need and they're not showing up to meetings. The issue came up with the 65% because our land development code requires if you are under 65% or under, you can rebuild to the current footprint. If you are in excess of 65%, you come into compliance of the land development code. As of today, the documentation that was provided does not include enough information for them to say they were less than 65%. You need a current footprint of the property. And you need actual figures because we have to look at what the property appraiser's office said the value of the property was of the structure prior to the burning. And we take that and compare it with the figures they provide. As of now, we don't have accurate figures still, so we couldn't do that. So with the building being in the shape that it's in, our staff went out and did an evaluation and determined that the building was in excess of 65% and that it was in such poor condition that it needed to be demolished. And so...
sit down, let her finish testifying, and I'll let you respond.
My only purpose here today was to make sure you all understood what our requirements are as a city,
right,
and to understand that we have been making an effort, but we're not getting what's needed. They did turn in documents, but they were not sufficient for what's required for us to make the determination.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to hear from Mr. Fitzgerald now. Okay.
Michael Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach. Yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock, we had a meeting at Governor Karp, myself, which is a deputy city official who went out to the property.
Okay.
Because of the condition that the property is in with being burnt and the roof not being complete, the water's coming in when it rains. We're getting particulates that can be poisonous to the ground and to the neighbors, are washing out of the building, and so we took the action yesterday that we want the property to be condemned and torn down.
They never even put a tarp on the roof?
You can see the picture, sir. There's nothing on the roof right there.
No, there's no tarp.
And it's just a bad condition. He can preserve his right by just doing a survey and having the property determine what the footprint, even if he did take it away. And he can still rebuild if he can figure out all those numbers of the city. Thank you.
And I,
for clarity, and they are available for any questioning or if they have any comments or questions for me. These two witnesses remain available.
Okay. Mr. Lucas?
Yes, I'm Friday. Okay. Well, I apologize for not making any, but I had to raise my family. So, and that was the only meeting that I missed. But I also thought that it was reputation. We had discussed everything that prior to by telephone that what was needed to be done. Like you said, the concern came whether it was the 65%. With Mr. Irvin, I guess you guys probably already know him. He does a lot of the work himself. So when we came with the conclusion, the final analysis of the cost, the labor was reduced tremendously because he and his family actually do a lot of the work. So when it came to the labor, I can't put a price on his cost of his labor. So when you were saying about that, it was undetermining about how much it would actually cost or what was going on. That's why. That was one of the issues with that. And by the skill that he has the ability to do it. And if I could do it, I would probably do work. I'm sure that you guys would probably do the work itself. So now when you're saying that 65% of the cost and stuff like that, I'm not really sure how you can determine that. When you base up a great part of it, is that the labor and other part of that the material? Because of the fact that it's going to cost on the person labor, how can you do that? So now when you're calculating this cost of the replacement of this building, two things are labor and material. So if he's saying that he's doing high economism of material and it is $12,000 and he's saying that he's doing the two, can you say it right or be said wrong? So it's been determined.
But that is not something that we determine.
Right. But they need to determine that before we be, so that we won't keep coming here. Until they make a decision and finally say, well, yes or no, that it's over 60% and y'all provide another analysis or another cost analysis or whatever. Y'all don't know how you determine it. I don't know how you determine what is the 65% cost.
No, so it, for now, you would have to get with them.
Excuse me. In the previous months, you were talking about bringing it back up as a duplex. Am I correct? Is that your knowledge, sir?
Yes, and it was a duplex. It's not that you're changing something to a duplex. It was a duplex.
I agree. The issue was back then was, it's in a single-family residence and whether you could bring it back up to a duplex.
Because it was a duplex, would they have to change it? Would it just be turned back to the original?
That's up to the city.
Yes. All right. Okay. There are a lot of issues here that our board has nothing, can make no determination about. We have no power to make a determination about how the 65% rule works, how zoning works. We don't do that. So we are going to have to come to a conclusion. It's been recommended to us by staff that the property be demolished. That's the recommendation, and they need to get it done by next month. That's so far what we have for a recommendation.
Madam Chair, if I can just clarify again, that while the city's instruction and the city's finding is that the property needs to be demolished, what we're asking of the board is not to order that the property be demolished, but to order the property be brought into compliance and allowed on the time that it would take to get the property demolished,
right,
which would be for the demolition permit and to demolish the property, which we believe could be done
right
by the next.
Okay. Okay.
So you're saying we should find out.
I was just giving clarification. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was just giving clarification. The permit can be taken care of by the next cutoff. It will probably take two months before the completion of a demolition. It's not practical that the demolition can be completed by next time. So we're waiting for the 6-day period.
Okay, I feel in the motion if we don't put in something about the demolition, it'll never happen. So we're not compliant, but we need to, what compliance consists in this case of getting a permit for demolition. And that should be part of the motion.
So I'm at the point now that it has been determined that the building will be demolished and that there is not a avenue of applying a permit to bring it into back to the new place. Are we there now? Where are we?
I think you are. That's what Fitzgerald just told you.
And can I just say, I just wanted to be taken into consideration that we're not just like sitting not doing nothing. I know you guys can't make decisions
right
on this, but can it be taken into our consideration that it's multiple people that we have to deal with, and these multiple people aren't giving us the answers that we need to deal with what you guys are bringing forth? Like, we can't bring it into compliance if we can't get a permit. And that's something that we've been trying to do.
Okay, like one person at a time. Mr. White.
When I brought that trend in last month, and Mr. Charles Brack brought all this information and sold everything out of line, but we couldn't get the permit. We can't do anything out there. If the building will continue to sit so wide open like it is, yes, it's going to run the smoke, water, and design, but we've been kind of dealing with it ever since I first came here. We did everything you said asked us, and every time we turn in a piece of paper, the something else comes up 30 days later. And I've instead of spending money to make me buy rental license when I already had rental license, everything was always something getting sold up to keep us from getting this permit to redo that place. That place could have been done, I'd have built the whole house inside to come standing up here. Completely, just me and one more other layer to build the whole 2,000 square feet house. That building could have been done in 3 weeks with inspection, done, ready to rent. But they would never answer anything. The attorney come down and prove that the building wasn't 65% damaged. And now they tell us we've got his head down. After I just spent $307 last week to an engineer without the structural engineer that they asked for. The last two things they asked for on this list, I did it. And this was last week. And I brought all the stuff in here, and now they tell me a different story. Why you making me spend this money? You should have told me this last week. Just don't make none sense. Just seem like, you know, just trying to turn everything back down on me when I just started trying to fix this building. I'm tearing out a building. I tear down, I got a lot worth $2,000. I redo this building with $14,000, $15,000. I got a building worth $45,000, $50,000 that pays me money every month to make a living. So why should I have to tear down something I know can't be fixed? When I got a structure in here to give y'all information that to be fixed. This is a joke to me. Really, as much as I can do the city of Daytona Beach, many houses I can build in the city of Daytona Beach. Now it's just look like something got to be torn out because of dragging the foot of the city. Every reason we here, not for me, the city was helping us up. Mr. Brown come up here and set up and tell y'all we got to go through this, we got to go through this, and send us return all this information. That was totally wrong. I don't know if it's discrimination or not, but we both black, but you shouldn't have sent it to them, the trial office information here that had to be done when we went to fill all this stuff out and made a couple of phone calls down here. But told us we didn't have to even have that irrelevant to what we got to do. So this kind of stuff was being sold off the government. Then they come up and tell y'all it's making a decision of demolition of jail. It sucks. Thank you.
I can understand your frustration and sympathize with the fact that you have done what you were asked to do. I believe the issue, of course, is not with our board, but with the other offices. And if you have a complaint, I think you have a right to voice that. Today we have based on imposing a fine for junk vehicles, outside storage of junk and debris, structure, and repair. So we will do what we are obligated to do, and I suggest strongly that you take this complaint and work it out with them. As far as demolishing the property, there's nothing on here that we
Correct.
Can rule on
Correct.
About demolishing the property. It's not on our agenda.
It is not.
And we have no power to do that. So I would like to see our board at least give you adequate time to iron this out, because I'm sure the city wants to do what's right on your behalf as well.
Well, unfortunately, to me, the city don't want to do what's right because he don't even return calls back.
Yeah, I know
we
that.
We just set a fee with the city. Every time you give me something to do, I break my back to go get it done right then and there.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Well, you'll be able to speak again, Mr. Bryant. Good morning.
Good morning. Charles Bryant, redevelopment project manager, for the record, the information that I read to this board last month was came from our tracking system. It was reviewed by Mr. Reedberger, who's redevelopment director. I read it from that report. During the time that this permit was submitted to the city, I was on vacation. Mr. Berger is the one who reviewed it. So the information that I provided to this board went strictly from what I had in tracking system. Additionally, I didn't send any information to the attorney. I referred the attorney to the planning manager, Mr. Dennis Mozak, and he provided information to the attorney. Now, I gave the information to the attorney who he should contact if he wanted to appeal, and that was going through the appeal process. That's the only information that I provided to the attorney was contact, and Dennis Mozak is the person who was that contact.
Okay. I want to clarify something. We're here, the action to be taken is to impose a fine for a junk vehicle, outside storage of junk and debris, and structure in disrepair. Those are the things that are in front of us. There is nothing else in front of us. So I think we should rule, this is my opinion, on what is in front of us and move this along. I am sorry that you're having such a hard time, but we can't rule on any of the things you're talking about. This is what we can rule on. I think that the junk vehicle has been taken care of, is that right? I think that the outside storage of junk and debris has been taken care of. The structure is in disrepair. I know. I can look at it and see. It's in disrepair. But that's what we have to rule on. Are we going to impose fines based on that? Are we going to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow more time? But I don't think that we need any longer to get into any of this
about
who did what, when, and where, because we don't have access to that information. We don't have any ability to rule on that information. So, one more thing, and then the only comments I'm going to accept are from staff and our board.
And I understand what you're saying. I completely understand that you need to rule on exactly what was
right.
said. But at the same time, we're kicking this can down the street again. We're kicking this can down the street again. Somewhere that it needs to be determined. Well, I guess what I'm trying to find out, has it already been determined that this house cannot be repaired and that it has to be demolished? That you guys, when I say that the city cannot find any way that they will be able to permit that building to be renovated. If they know that he's not going to be able to do it, there's no use to get down the street to say that they can get some more information and do something else. We're going to be right back here a month or two later with the same.
No, we're not.
No.
Madam Chair, Member to the Board, I think that you've already said what you have to say in terms of your ability to address those issues.
Correct.
Those issues are issues that the city is trying to address and has tried to address. The meeting was set, unfortunately, without the attendance of the people necessary. Those decisions or additional decisions weren't made. Perhaps there are remedies and they have to seek those perhaps in another meeting. I don't have those answers. That's something that has to work out with staff. They have an attorney that's involved. They have contractors. And there's a process, and I just encourage everyone that if you just get back on the process and allow the process to take them to wherever they need. Yes, there is a determination of demolition, at least by a placard, I believe. The letter and notification has been gone out, but as he indicated, was just yesterday. That letter was probably included an indication of remedies for even if they disagree with that determination. So there's things that's still left that's available. Information that's available, but it's all between staff and the individual.
Correct.
And the staff has been, as best I can tell from the testimony and from everything I know of the manner of the staff, that they've done work to get the information to people who need the information and to give them all the opportunities to seek the appropriate remedies if they disagree with the decisions they've made.
Please, sir, no more testimony. I've heard enough.
Well, I've set a compliance date for the completion of it. It is structures in disrepair, so we need a compliance date.
We have a compliance date. We are here to impose a fine. We're not here to set a compliance date. We can either amend it, our date.
Yeah, we can amend it by setting a new compliance date.
I propose we amend it. So okay. The
chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until November 1st to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Yes.
Second.
Who made the motion?
I did.
Okay. Motion, Mrs. House. Second. Mr. Weatherholt, all in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
And then at the next meeting, we simply decide has our order been taken care of? Is it in compliance or not? Then we're finished with it.
Correct. Wow. Case number 11, CEB 05-17-46. At 859 Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard, Louis Rivera and Victor Peralta. Anyone here? Please come forward. Wait 1 second. We'll be with you in a second, sir. He needs to be sworn in.
Can you say your name, please?
Oh, Victor Peralta.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll hear from staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, actually you could have passed on the swearing because the inspector said he had an opportunity to go out there this morning, and it's determined the property is now in compliance.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. That's what we like to hear. All right. Case number 12, CEB 041721. MHP Daytona Air. Respondent present. Okay, we'll hear from you in a second, too.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector, this is before you can position or find the inspector, John Stinson. I believe this left off, according to Mr. Stinson, with the need for the resolve of damaged roof. He's been advised by the owner, and maybe the owner will come and swear to us that the property, that the roof has been taken care of. He hasn't had an opportunity to re-inspect, and we're only asking for an X cutoff so we can do the re-inspection and determine whether he's taking plans or not.
Great. Any questions for anybody? Do you want to say anything? That is a good thing. That's a great thing. All right, Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow a respondent until November 1st, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt, second as House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Case number 13, CEB07-17-79, John B. Clark, at 726 Rawlings Court. All right. No one's here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before the imposition of a fine. Inspector John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the permit was issued, you told me? Applied. I'm sorry, he just told me something fresh from my notes, so I will send her out.
Okay.
Mr. Spencer to give you the most current update.
All right.
Good morning. John Spencer, Code Inspector, same complications are on file. This particular property, the permit was applied for on 9-1. It's currently under review on 9-20. The building inspector has emailed back the property owner for some corrections, so I'd like to amend to the next call.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Board will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until November 1st, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration or a fine of up to $1,000 per day or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion. Ms. House, second. Mrs. Himes, second. Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 14, CEB08-17-93, Michael R. Miller, 1002 Alice Drive. Respondent present? No. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspectors, John Stinson and Mr. Stinson, reports that the respondent has done nothing and that this was a complaint generated case that he is requesting that the that $200 a day fine be imposed to a maximum of $10,000. As it indicates, this the respondent was first notified in June.
That's correct. Now, any questions? All right, Carol. Entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Such a motion?
Second.
All right. Motion, Mr. Weatherholt, and second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 15, CEB08-17-95, Paul Protensis at 528 Fairmount Road. Here for that case, okay? This is a tenant complaint, correct?
Yes, ma'am. This is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. On 9:30, the respondent applied for the business tax receipt, which was also require everything else to be taken care of. It's all under review. The inspector is recommending that we amend to the next cutoff.
So what did they get on 9:30?
Good morning, John Stinson again, code inspector of the city. They applied for the rental licensing inspection. When that's completed, yes. When that's completed, everything should be good.
Good. All right, so we'll give them another month. Is that correct?
Yes.
What you're asking for? Okay. All right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow a respondent until November 1st, 2017 to commit to compliance and be returned to subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Hines. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, well, that's
good. Madam Chair, may I approach?
Sure. Okay, we can do that. Let's finish the old cases and then we'll move on. We only have one more. And then we'll move on to the new cases and do this first. Okay? All right. All right. Mr. McCoy has to leave, so we're going to do the last old case and then we'll move on to his new cases first. Okay, so the last old or continued case is number 18, CED 08-17-98, Stephen Bostick. Mr. Bostick here? Yes.
Okay, no. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The primary issue is off-street parking. The remains in non-compliance. The inspector, John Stinson. Mr. Stinson requests that we impose a $50 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay, so we still have the parking issue, the dilapidated fence issue, and the dilapidated roof issue.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. The fencing and the roof has been corrected, yes. The only thing left now is the actual parking.
Okay.
Permits is an
issue? No permits are going to be needed for the stucco. And the fence was less than 50%, so there's not required permits at all.
And what about the roof?
The roof was not dilapidated. That particular issue wound up to be an issue. That wound up to be an
issue. Okay. All right.
Yes,
no.
Just not getting in their car.
Unfortunately, he's out of the country, so kind of had to deal with third parties. But I mean, the parking situation changes obviously since the cars move in and out. But he's definitely aware of that.
Okay. These are rental cars or cars from renters? Is that right?
No, it's a family-owned property, but
they're just not
more than one family-owned
okay.
property.
So you're asking $50 per day.
Mm-hmm. All right, Cheryl, entertain a motion to impose a fine of $50 per day against the respondent effective today. Continue until compliance is achieved and reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So
motion, Mr. Harrington. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Mm-hmm. Motion carries. All right, we're going to move on to our new cases. And with that, what we're going to do is take Mr. McCoy's cases. Which, how many? Oh, my. Well, we're going to start on page 6, number 26. This is case number CED09-17-113. The respondent present. Mr. Suja? No. All right. This is just for compliance or non-compliance?
That's correct, Madam Chair. As you said, these are Mr. McCoy's case. The he reports that ICE received a response from the owner, but it remains in non-compliance. He's asking for So I finally was non-compliant, the next cutoff for the property be brought up to compliance.
Okay. Questions? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and order respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, 11-1-2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second. Mrs. Hines, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Did you
like find opposed, all right?
Excuse me, did you put a limit on, on that?
Limit a thousand, yeah. $1,000 per day.
I mean, maximum.
No, I don't need to do that.
Just non-compliance.
All right. Next call. All right. This is just compliance or non-compliance. All right. Case number 27 is the same person, CB0917-114. Mr. Souza is not here. Still not here. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. So, same situation. It was probably made to non-compliance. Nothing's been done. As you see, this is a specific unit identified, and so the request is for finding non-compliance next call to come to compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion. Any objections from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or a respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, November 1st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, time, second. Ms. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. I just stand right. Okay. Okay, here's case 28. Mr. Souza. 118 Emmett. This is a different, same unit, same thing.
Look, this is structure. So this one is still occupied. This is rental. Not compliant. The inspector requests that you make a finding of non-compliance mm-hmm. and give them until next call to come to compliance.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, November 1st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weather, Holt, second. Ms. Hines, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 29, CEB09-17-116. Mr. Castillo, available? No. Okay. Is he here? Mr. Castillo? No? He was here.
One of passing.
All right, we'll pass that one and go down to case 30. CEB0917-117, Mr. Chaudhry. Okay, respondent not here. Okay.
Okay, Madam Chair, this is before you for compliance and non-compliance. The inspector, Mr. Ron McCoy, he says that the property remains in non-compliance. He's had no contact with the owner. He requests next call for the property to come into compliance.
No contact. Okay. Chair will, unless there are objections, Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, November 1st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Okay.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second. Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So is this Mr. Castillo?
No.
Castillo? No. Still not here. All right. Do we have more, Mr. Manuel? You do. Okay. Case number 31, CEB0917-118, Mohammed Kabaza. Please come forward and be sworn in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Mohammed Kabazi.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, we'll hear from staff first, and then I'll give you a chance to respond.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you took compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mr. Ron McCoy. This McCoy reports to the property to acknowledge you raised in non-compliance. He had no contact with the owner. This is the first time seeing the owner.
And he's requesting that's cut off for the property to be brought into compliance.
Mr. McCoy, what needs to be done?
Wrong court, code officer, my credentials on file.
Uh-huh.
The debris still exists. Nothing has been cleaned up over there. The line has been cut, but the debris is still on the property. So, and we're
okay.
Getting complaints from around the neighbors.
Okay. What would you like to tell us, Mr. Kabazi? You live there? Excuse me.
No,
you don't live there. What?
Empty lot. It used to have a house. If you look at...
Oh, wait a minute. Do we have pictures? I thought I saw...
A business.
This is the property.
Okay.
Originally, it has a house. I have a problem with vagrants in it. You imposed a fine on me, and I ended up tearing the house down. I'm still having a problem with the vagrants. I put in the police... a no trespassing request, and we have cleaned this almost on a monthly basis, and it keeps recurring back. I do not know who is staying there. They have brought paint, they have brought tires, they have cleaned the house next door and dumped it on the house, and I have to clean it, and it's a recurring problem. I only need the help from the police department to report if anybody's on the side to that. All them responsible. I've been paying for every time about $200 for debris removal just from the trash that keeps accumulating.
Now, I'm sorry that's happening. It is partially a police issue, but you have to keep the property clean.
Well, I keep, every time we cut it, we clean it, and it keeps happening. We cannot, I do not know who is the person, I do not know.
Go ahead.
That's it.
Okay.
Sir, this says that the first violation was in June. And you removed the rubbish. Did you report that to the officer that you had removed the rubbish?
I actually got two calls. One from the city, and they removed it by the city, and I paid that removal.
Okay. They removed it.
And the second time, I removed it myself, and this still... Within a couple of days, I have the same trash.
Well, I'm trying to understand this date. If you had come into compliance by removing it, this date would not... You would have removed
it. This is a recurring problem. It doesn't take more than a week that you have the same rubbish at the same
time. I understand it, but each time you clear it, if you're under a code violation, you need to notify the officer who issued the violation that it's now in compliance. And we would, 'cause this looks like you haven't done anything since June.
This is something that I do not know where it comes from.
Yeah.
It is not something that we do. It's not something that I'm bringing to the property. It is something that I'm inheriting with this property. I know there's a fine on that property that's in the thousands because of previous problem with the house, and it seems like the previous, the same...
Now, well, we're just ruling on what's in front of us right here, and so the only thing we're doing today is whether the property is in compliance or not in compliance, and when I look at that, I see that it's not in compliance. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, I'm sure what he's describing sounds difficult, and it very well could be.
Mm-hmm.
It is a residence neighborhood. There are complaints. Mm-hmm. About the condition. It's complaint generated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a property owner, I guess you have to find a creative way to get it resolved. It means having someone with me to go to inspect the property, the listing on it, or something to make sure it's clear. And I guess that, you know, I can't solve it for, but it has to get resolved because the neighbor complaints and violation.
Mr. Jessner, would you like to speak?
I understand it's on the list. You put it on our list, but I also understand it's not properly posted. That's on him to post the property, and he's aware of that. So you got to make sure it's posted. We can't act on that unless it's posted properly.
We have posted every time we cut the yard, we put a no trespassing sign. And the next time we come in the yard, there's the bridge and the sun is gone.
So
I mean...
You
I mean, we had it on the TV.
Okay, he's giving you advice.
So, if you give me till next time when we do that, I would contact you.
Yes.
But now I would ask your help.
But as of today, the property is not in compliance, and that's what we're ruling on. So the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent non-compliance in order for the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is November 1st.
Thank you,
2017, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is such a motion?
$1,000 per day for removing trash?
Motion, Mrs. Hines, second.
Second.
Second, Ms. House. All in favor say aye. Like, kind, opposed. Up to.
Thank you.
All right. Now, did the other person come back in?
No.
Okay. So we'll go to 32, case number CB09-17-119. Land Trust 433 Marion, care of trustee, at 433 Marion Street. Respondent present. Good morning.
My name is Daisy Tavares, and I'm a sister-in-law of Eric Mitchell, who's the owner of the TRSC LLC.
Okay. And you're authorized to speak for that person. Okay, please be sworn in.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You're welcome. Okay. We'll hear from staff first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector's room McCoy, Mr. McCoy reports that his first contact with anyone on behalf of the owners was today, this morning. The property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking for next cutoff of property to be brought into compliance.
Would you like to tell us something about all these infractions?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
The property, as far as speaking of course on the top, I don't know the whole, I guess, legality of the situation, but this property was placed on the trust, which Aaron Mitchell is the financing party. The owner and operator current to the property is his name is Carlos Charles, and he is the one who is, I guess, guilty of all these violations.
No, the owner of the property is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But he just wants a little, I would say, more time. He has since retained a lawyer, and he's in the process of foreclosing on Carlos Charles so that he can legally make changes to the property and take care of the violations. He's more than willing to, but the lawyer recommended that he not sit the property until foreclosure comes into effect.
This notification went out on June. What's happened since June? Anything?
I'm not sure. I know they sought, I guess, legal help, and the foreclosure, it's been months that they've actually, I guess.
Has it been filed, foreclosure?
Yes, I have a letter from the lawyer in his contact.
When do you think that can be filed?
Not sure.
Does it say in the letter?
It doesn't say in the letter.
Is there anyone living there now?
I drove past the property. I was here 2 days ago on another case, and there is somebody in the property.
Who's in there?
I'm not sure who's in there.
I mean, is it a tenant?
A tenant is in there?
It's a tenant. Yes.
Okay.
In there.
And that's the person they're trying to get out. And you know who it is because you just said there's a suit pending. Is that is there more than one unit in there?
I know only one is only one. I think there's two, but I believe the other one's blocked off and it's nobody lives there.
Okay, so you do know who the tenant is. This is the person you're
in there. Mm-hmm. And
This is the first time I've heard of the case. I drove past there, but I tried to contact somebody. I tried to contact Carlos Charles. I don't know where he lives. I tried asking the tenants. Nobody, I mean, they gave me the runaround.
There's nothing.
The fact remains that there are a lot of violations in there. They're here, that we can see them. There's a tenant in there. There's no date for foreclosure. So at this point, what I'd like to do is to just find the respondent in non-compliance, and we'll move on from there.
What we need, though, is you're going to come back next month to the process.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right. I know.
The lawyer might be a little more specific in the information.
Yeah, we're going to...
stop it at that.
Okay. And he hasn't indicated in the letter that he's done anything.
Okay. I mean, I told you that I understand there are certain things that you can and can't do. Unfortunately, like I said, they live out of state, and I'm the only person in the state that can actually, you know, come here and at least say something and not let it, you know, go unanswered.
Well, the owner is responsible.
Right.
Just get us some more specifics.
We need to have specifics next time.
If you go to a foreclosure, we understand we need to win that one.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Hines, second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed.
So, please notify your attorney that we've made this ruling.
All right. How many more cases, Mr. McCoy? Do you just two. Okay, case 34, CEB0917-121, Tracy Smith. Is she available? No? Okay. Working without permits? Simple.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance for violation of working without permits. The property remains in non-compliance. He spoke with the owner, and he's asked him for next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Yes.
Cheryl,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You want, Mr. McCoy, you want to say something?
Yes, Jerome McCoy. Yes, I did do some checking, and he actually applied for the permit yesterday. So, and I just became aware of that.
Okay.
Good.
So is he, but the permit has not been approved, so but by next cutoff it should be. Okay. Thank you. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Mrs. Himes made the motion. Mr. Weatherholtz is second. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, we have one more case for Mr. McCoy. He's here? All right. Case number 29, CEB0917-116, Julio Castillo. Is he here?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Please state your name.
My name is Julio Victor Castillo.
I'm sworn in.
Unfortunately, I was...
Well, we're going to hear from our staff first, okay? And then we'll give you a chance to talk, sir.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you go to termination of compliance or non-compliance. Jerome Torres, the inspector, the enforcer of the property, is currently in non-compliance, and he's asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
No, that's the old one. Okay. Which one are we looking at?
let us look at the pictures here for a second. Is this it? Okay.
Yes, Jerome McCoy, code inspector. Yes, the place is still quite a bit of debris on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
On the outside. However, I'll let him testify to this as well, that he was incarcerated. So he hasn't been able to correct the issue. We had to secure the place because it was, the front door was smashed in. We went by it a couple days ago and we hadn't secured it. So.
Okay, but all these violations are still occurring. According to the pictures, they are. Okay, thank you very much. Would you like to come tell us what's going on?
I got into an altercation with a homeless person that was evicted from a home on 349 Jefferson Street across the street. And he called the police on me and he said that I assaulted him and they arrested me. And it took 2 months for my attorney and, you know, and the judges to realize that the person was lying. And I was supposed to be out in September, but because of the storm, it got delayed, and I was just released on Tuesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they dropped the charges and everything, and I got, the only thing I have that the Volusia County gave me was my mugshot on the day that I was arrested. I was arrested on May 30th. And I was told by neighbors and the church next door that, you know, they called code enforcement because there was more than 10 people living inside my home. They got wind of it that there was someone who was living at 360 and I was in jail, so they all moved in there and they made a big party.
Okay, is your house secure right now?
Yes, it is secure because...
Are you living there right now?
Currently I'm not living there right now, but I do come and I've been...
Where are you living right now?
I'm living at a friend's house.
Okay. That's fine, that's all. You're not living there.
Right.
If you were arrested May 30th, how could you have received this notice on June 26th? Were you in jail all that time?
I've been 4 months in Volusia County.
Something doesn't make sense then. If you were arrested May 30th,
right,
you couldn't have received it.
No, I never received anything. I was in jail, sir.
Do we have something that says he was notified?
It was posted.
It was posted?
Yeah,
posted.
Oh,
okay.
I wasn't in the neighborhood.
I understand. All right. So we're here to... You're here, so
now,
and we're to determine whether your property is in compliance or non-compliance.
Yes, ma'am.
Pretty obvious from the pictures that it's not in compliance.
Yes. Not due to my fault.
Well, that didn't happen overnight either. But that's all we're here to do.
Okay.
Any comments from the board?
I think we should be as lenient as possible concerning the fact that he hasn't been able to do anything since he's been behind bars.
Thank you, sir.
I said,
when you said
lean
here, how much time are you talking?
At least a month.
Oh, yeah. Well, we would do a month automatically.
Yeah.
The next cutoff would be a month, and I think we need to see some. We can deal with it then.
That's 7-11-1.
Yeah.
That's 7-11-1. Is that enough time to clean it up?
What I need to do is just take their debris and throw it all the way. I have a neighbor, his name's Brother Robinson. He's from the church next door for me. He said he's going to cut all the grass for me and trim the trees. And the church next door from me, there's a church right next door from me. I think there was an officer right there can tell you that, you know, the church is going to be helping me.
So,
here, ma'am.
We give you 30 days, then you'll have at least most of the outside done.
Yeah. I will, sir. Thank you.
Mrs. Hines has made a motion that we find the respondent in noncompliance in order to come into compliance by the December 6th cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Just want to make sure I stay secure. That's part of the motion.
Okay. So we will amend that motion. No, you need to keep the property secure and posted. Do we put that in the motion?
In this circumstance, it seems like, if I'm understanding him right, it is his primary residence, so I would presume as soon as it's cleaned up, there's no has to deal with it being able to go in and out.
Right.
And so we don't need to really address that, I don't think, in this circumstance.
Okay. All right. So we'll see you December 6th, and hopefully you'll have this all cleaned up.
Do we have an address? I'm staying in different friends' homes right now.
Keep in touch with us, let us know where you are.
I'm at 356 Jefferson Street, across the street at a friend's home.
So you're checking your mail still?
I'm around across the street.
Oh, okay.
So you'll keep the officer informed as how is your progress.
I saw him yesterday.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, fine. That's fine. All right, now we're going to take a break. If you're here for a case, please let us know. Please come up and tell Amy Hampton, please, that you're here for a case of what number it is. And when we reconvene in five minutes, we'll start with the cases of the people that are here. Officially have a quorum and... our attorneys are present, so I'm going to reconvene the meeting. Here comes Mr. Harrington. We'll start with case 24, CEB 0917-110, Joshua Bolton. RV illegally parked. Guys.
Now, Chair Members of the Board, the case before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. Inspector Ben Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the property was in non-compliance, but it is now in compliance, and he would like that finding of non-compliance now in compliance.
Okay. If there are no objections, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance for any violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Hines. Second, Mr. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 25, CED 0917-11, Zora Pottlesney at 1101 Sunland Road, are they illegally parked?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case also, the respondent was in non-compliance but is now in compliance, and the inspector, Danny Garcia, is asking for that finding.
Okay. There are no objections. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. Now, here we go for all of you that are still here. We're going to go in order. That's all we can do. All right.
19.
Case number 19. Person here. This would be Timothy Bagnall. Uh-huh. He is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Say your name,
please, sir. Hi,
Timothy Bagnall. Raise your right hand. You solemnly
swear or
affirm
that the testimony about the right is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay, we'll hear from staff first. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for compliance or non-compliance. The inspector's Tom Klieg. His case has been covered by Mr. Sanders in his absence. This property, Mr. Sanders reports that it's currently in non-compliance. And he spoke with the owner, and he's asking for the owner to bring the property to compliance by next call.
Okay. That, do you have anything to add to that, or? Have you already filed for the permit?
Yeah, and I believe the permit is ready to be picked up today.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is November 6, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is that a motion? Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Next one. All right, we did 19. Is the next person here?
20, yes.
20? All right. CEB 0917-104 Nasser Morella Gadimi at 841 North Wild Olive.
Can you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Good morning. Okay, I'm going to let staff speak, and then you can. This is for to impose a fine for repeat violation.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector's Tom Klee, with the Klee reports that the property was. There was a finding of non-compliance on August 10th. Shortly after that, property was placed outdoors waiting for removal. It stayed out for a period of time and resulted in a new violation. Mr. Klieg is asking for a $750 fine for the repeat violation of complaint generated, but the property is now in compliance. So we ask for a finding of compliance, non-compliance, but with a final post of $750 for the roll fine.
Okay.
So I guess imposition of fine will probably be all you need.
Okay. But Jasmine, did you want to say anything? He said that the person, the witness, had
to
leave.
I spoke to the witness. She took the photographs, and she wanted me to just pass it on. She had to leave. That the problem tenants, this is her warning, have been evicted, so it has improved, but there was a violation. She took the pictures.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sir, what would you like to tell us?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there was a problem tenant there, and after I talked to the police, and they told me about it, so I evicted the person. And those pictures were taken, and I called Mr. Crane, and I told him that they are in the process of moving, so they were putting their stuff out, and the mother was coming to the car and take their stuff away. And he said that he would talk to the, you know, his superiors and determine that, you know, if that would be, you know, resolved. And I mentioned to him that it is just a process that they were very difficult people to find out when I did get rid of them. And I wanted to mention that this is just to make it a little bit easier for them because they didn't have like, come in U-Haul and take everything away, so they were taking it in segments, but I just wanted them to be also to make it easier for them. I mentioned to them, Mr. Klein, that and he said it would be okay. You know, it's not going to be a problem. I wanted that they're moving out by the end of the month, which they did, and we have been in a good standing with everybody.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? All right. Staff has recommended a fine of $750 for the date of noncompliance. So if there are no objections, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $750 for the date of noncompliance. For the date of noncompliance. Motion? Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Thank you. All right, what's the next case? All right. New Life Bible Church, CEB 0917106 at 507 Fifth Avenue. Respond here. Good. Thank you. Come forward, state your name, and be sworn in, and good morning.
Good morning. Chris Arnold.
And
when
you
were answered,
you
saw me
swear or affirm that the testimony about the
survivors
is
your
goal, truth, and nothing but the truth? It is.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll hear from the staff. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector report said the property is currently in noncompliance. The Mr. Sanders is the factory indicates he spoke with Mr. Cerno, Pastor Cerno, and that the that if they pull the permits, then they should be able to have it taken care of by next call.
Okay, so we want to hear. All right, Mr. Sanders, you have anything to add?
No, I got it. They pulled the permits, like we said, and they got to figure out how to get to the upper part up there, and it's just, I believe they can get it done in 30 days.
Okay. Mr. Arnold, would you like to say anything?
How you doing?
Good.
So what is your relationship to the church?
We just rent the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you rent the church.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And we never got the first paperwork. The paperwork was sent certified mail. For the
well, it wouldn't come to the renter. It would go to the owner.
And I got it after it was put on the board.
Okay.
It wasn't like we were trying to, like, not take care of what was there.
Okay.
I didn't even know it was there.
Okay.
We found out about it. We tried to make our diligence as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We got the permit ready pulled, ready to go, and
okay.
Take care of all of it.
Terrific.
And I apologize that we didn't know about everything.
Okay. Does somebody want to testify?
Go ahead.
Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Amy Pyle, 136 South Grandview Avenue.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is your whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am. I'm speaking as a witness because this property is in my neighborhood. I made a report after Hurricane Matthew about roof damage, and an inspector went out and marked it compliant. So I'm not really sure what. So now there's continued damage after Irma to the roof, but there is other damage on this property. And I understand the owner is not here today. The tenant is here. So it's the owner that has to pull the permit. I'm assuming you know that a permit has been pulled for the roof. But there are issues that could be safety issues. There's a rotten beam over a doorway. There is a broken concrete header over doorway. There's exposed rusty rebar. There is a broken gate in the back, and the windows, as they, you know, there's big windows on the side. As a piece breaks, they're being replaced with plywood. And this is a redevelopment area, so I want this board to understand that the owner of this property is not really trying. They knew the roof damage was there after Matthew, and they did not act on it, even though the code inspector didn't look up and see it. They should have known that that roof damage was there, so that kind of shows intent and some neglect. And the residents in that neighborhood would kind of like it to be cleaned up. It's street view as we go by. We're seeing plywood in the windows, broken, et cetera, just like I named. So,
okay.
If that has any bearing on the
what we're here today to do is compliance or noncompliance about the roof being fixed. There can be other cases another time, but this is what this case is, and this is what we're going to rule on. Thank you for allowing me to.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And the only person we can take witness of on intent is the person that we're dealing with, the property. We can't take your opinion as to what their intent is.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Why are you here?
That's a good question. Yeah, the owner's, he's like 96 years old and lives in Cleveland, Tennessee. His health is not well at all.
He authorized you to speak on his behalf.
Yes, ma'am.
You think he's going to pull the permit?
We have a license contract to pull the permit.
So you applied for that?
No, it's already been issued.
Oh, it's already been issued. So are they... Okay. It's not for permit. It's not...
We need to give them 30 days
to
be in compliance.
The thing was, we got the permit. The permit's in place. It's already been issued. They're figured the material list has already been ordered. We got the receipts for that. It's just now getting the job done. You know, with everything going on with the storm, I'm doing everything I possibly can to get it forward. And I just called Officer Sanders, and I said, whatever we got to do with the building, we are going to do. They've called the historic. I mean, I know that's not for here, but they've called the historic to make sure we try to do everything. I know there's a revitalization in the area. We asked. There's no finances for it, so we're doing the best we can. We're replacing what can be replaced the way it needs to be replaced. And I just got them talking. We'll do whatever we have to do to make this do as we want.
Who pulled the permit? The contractor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So.
And why? And
when do we?
You as
the responder is 30 days. What your recommendation is?
Yeah. Yes, 30 days recommendation to get the roof finished, and I'm having a meeting with him tomorrow or Monday to go over the outstanding issues, and we can go over a knock list to fix those.
Okay, and you're
going to check on the historic value of the
You'll check with Mrs. Pyle about whatever.
We're not here for anything other than the roof. And the next cutoff date is 11/6. Can we have the roof done by then? 11/1.
Okay. I'm hoping they can. I'm kind of on everybody else's timeline. I know we have to. I'll try to get it done as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody's working a lot. It's kind of hard.
Okay.
Okay. I'll talk with him about it. Okay.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent not compliant or respondent commit to compliance by the next cutoff date, November 6, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
November 1st.
Oh, no, I did it again. Show us November 1st. All right, I'm getting slap happy up here. Okay. Is there such a motion?
So
moved. Second. Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right, next case, do we have someone here for?
Number 22.
37.
All right, case number 37. That's on page 9. CEB 09-17-105, Rufus and Lorraine Walker. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and be sworn in. Good morning. Okay, then you two can, if you're not going to speak, you don't have to do anything. You can just sit down in front there if you want. Yeah, 37. Page 9.
What case?
This is.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Mm-hmm. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Okay, if you'll take a seat, we'll hear from staff first. This is case number 37 on page 9. CED 0917-105. All right. Ms. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is here for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones' report said the property is in currently in high compliance, that he's happily spoken with the owner, that they should be able to have it in compliance by next cutoff. That's what he's asking for, you to give him till next cutoff to compliance.
Okay.
And tell Mr. Jones if you have any factual questions.
Mr. Jones, anything you'd like to add?
No, I talked with the Amos Jones.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Neighborhood services. Talked with the son of the owner today at the hearing, and he has said that he will be able to get it into compliance by the next cutoff.
Okay. All right, did you want to testify, sir? Is there anything you'd like to say? You're going to just get it into compliance. That's it? Okay.
Get into compliance with that is concerning, I guess, a 65 Cadillac convertible is in the driveway, a car that needs to be, I guess, removed. Or do I exactly have to do to make it exactly compliance?
Well, you'll have to talk to Mr. Jones. We can't advise you on that, but Mr. Jones can tell you exactly what you need to do. Okay? So, that's good. I'm glad to see that you'll have that all squared away. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and/or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Hines. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. November 1st. Don't ask me. Okay, thank you very much. Thank all of you for waiting, too. I know this has been a long day. All right, what's next?
42.
Okay, on page 10, case number 42, CEB 10-17-127, the Carol and Shave Living Trust. Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Carol Shave, 12 South Oleander Avenue.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay. All right. Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that the property is being renovated without permits, new permits submitted. He believes that can be done by next cutoff, and so that's for finding non-compliance and next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Ms. Shea, what would you like to tell us?
I have filed for the notice of commencement. I filed a builder to do the installation and the framing, and I have in a contract with doors and windows.
Great.
So however long it takes to get everything done like that, we're on our way.
Okay. Well, we're just here for no permits. You get all your permits, and that will take care of that.
Okay.
So, chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and/or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. Next 45. One. 45. Still on page 10. CEB 10-17-130, Christopher A. and Patricia Hall. Good morning.
Good morning.
Whoever's going to be testifying, just come up and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Everybody or just?
No. Just two people, right? Two of you. Okay.
Patricia Hall, 17 Harry Street, Hollywood, Florida. Jennifer Jones, 645 West Water Road, in Tomalee Shore.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You can only swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll hear from staff.
Now, Chair members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that He's aware of the conditions and everything that's in compliance except for the question of the rental license. He spoke with the respondent this morning, and based on a conversation he had with the parent tenant, but it was just actually the mother of the respondent, and she's not a tenant according to the respondent. So if this went that under oath, then this would be in compliance. So they want to come up and tell you that under oath. That's what they informed the inspector, that that she's not a tenant, and that was the only outstanding issue regarding the non-compliance.
So I just want to make sure I understand this. So his mother is not, is living there, but is not a tenant. Is she an owner?
No.
You're the owner. Okay. Right. That's fine. Right.
I got home, and my mama was homeless, and I was I didn't know she was staying with my sister at first, and then they got into it, and I was like, I can't let my mama stay outside. So I told her to get a bill. She don't pay me no rent. And that's why I was like, why do I need a bill? She don't pay me no rent.
What about all the, what would you also say?
You just told us that I also live there, and I don't keep my sister rent either. I'm just a child to pay the water and money at the property. And my mom does not pay rent.
Okay. Okay. I get that. But my only other question would be for staff. What about all the other infractions that are on
there? The major infractions were the three unlicensed vehicles that they had on the property. All three of them have been done, have been removed.
Okay.
They had, the yard had all kinds of junk in it. It had high weeds.
Uh-huh.
The shrubbery around it, this is a corner lot, had gotten out of hand. They have trimmed all that up. There should be a picture of it, these are some of the different vehicles. But this is now the yard,
okay.
It's now mowed.
Okay.
All the junk has been removed. It's not a rental property.
Right.
So it doesn't fall under our property maintenance code. So all, with it not being a rental property, all the other violations have been corrected.
So it's in compliance, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's in compliance. They found their sworn testimony.
Okay, we've had sworn testimony that the property is in compliance as of today.
Yeah, I've had no previous contact with the owner. All my contact has been with her mother.
Okay, so you're in compliance. Thank you. Okay. All right, next.
Was that 47?
47, that's on page 11. CEV 10-17-132, Vandal of Daytona Incorporated, 614 Speedway.
Good morning.
Hi.
Randall Phillips, 1605 Crescent Ridge Road. I'm the proprietor and owner of the property.
Swear or affirm with the testimony
you're
about to provide, the truth, the whole truth,
and
nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay, we'll hear from staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is for determination of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders requests that property be brought into compliance by next call.
Okay. And needs to add anything?
I just want to apologize about it. As you can see, the yellow I paint, and I have a joker that lives in the neighborhood that likes to eat it every time I paint it. So every time I paint that side, they come back and just graffiti the whole wall. So that's why it's been looking the way it has. I literally have neighbors that will come and just put primer on it, and then I'll paint yellow it on it. And the minute I paint yellow on it, whoever it is comes and just graffiti the whole wall over again. So it's ongoing battle. But I'll get it. It's storage, but yeah, it's very done. No, I don't have a tenant in it any longer. Right now, it used to be a gas station. I had all the three tanks pulled, and currently it's going under deep well monitoring, so I can't really pay it until the state stops doing monitoring.
Just out of curiosity, what was the business that was in?
Before it was Schumer's, and then it was a Pure Oil gas station, I believe.
Okay, sure.
And that was Howard's ice cream. That is the best ice cream. Better for times to see.
It's a very interesting telephone booth.
Yes,
I do.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
I will get into compliance. I apologize for any
All right. Thank you very much. There are no objections. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent come into compliance by their cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Heim, second. Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Next case. What number?
23.
Okay. We get back to it.
No, you need to step up here and state your name.
All right, we're going back to case 23.
My name is Raymond Saeed.
Can you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, please have a seat. We'll get to you in a minute. This is CED 09-17-108, case number 23 on page 6. Okay. At 502 Madison Avenue. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for submission compliance, non-compliance, the Inspector Sherry Sanders. Mrs. Sanders reports that the responder remains in non-compliance and he will need some extra cost to come into compliance. And I tend to Mr. Sanders for any other fast information made.
This is one unit out of how many?
This is Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Beach. This is one unit out of five. And the zoning use has been changed. The BT expired. And I had a complaint from one of the tenants, and they let me in with a consent form to do an inspection. And that's where all the violations come in.
Do you feel these rodents and so forth are a health and safety issue, particularly for other tenants?
I do.
How many units are we talking about in this?
You're talking about five units in
five the, altogether?
Five altogether. And again, with the use change, it has to be a storage area. It can't be residence. So.
I'm not understanding the implication of that.
The use right here is the M1 use located local industry, and the upstairs of the building, you know, was converted into apartments.
Five apartments?
Five apartments.
Can I see the picture? Let's see the outside. I need to understand this a little bit. Those are all inside pictures.
Yes.
So the outside, what's on the bottom floor of the outside?
The bottom floor was a business. I don't know what it was. That's the front of the building right there.
And so you mean some of the five units above that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The living quarters.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any evidence of permits being issued for this or any other inspections or anything?
No.
It just happened.
Well, it's been there for a while.
Do you know if all the other units are occupied?
I don't. I wasn't invited into the other units.
Okay. I will. Okay. We'll ask them. Okay.
And at this time, I let him.
Okay. See. Okay. Good. All right, Mr. Sides, please come up. And what would you like to tell us?
Sure. We have. I do have downstairs is such as a warehouse, empty space. I use it for personal use, equipment for my store, space, and such as things like that. However, up the stairs, this was five units. Most of them is efficiency and one bedroom unit. However, one of the units, the lady has called in about life or something that Mr. Anderson came in and inspected the building. However, I did hire a contractor to correct all the violations that Mr. Sander has wrote to us. The only situation, I got in touch with him 2-3 times, and he said the situation, my license for the apartment is expired. I went to talk to the city. They told me because you have 5 units, you have to apply for the license in Tallahassee, I believe. When I sent in my application, Tallahassee sent me a paper and said the code enforcement must find that the property is valid, you know, for somebody to live in it, or there is no violation on it. Since then, I was waiting for the meeting about my property. Mr. Sandler charged me, he said, you cannot get nobody to live upstairs anymore because the code has been changed. I'm not aware of it. And now my license has expired, you know, here I'm not aware of it. And it's just, that's why we are over here.
How long have you owned the property?
It's been four years now.
Were there apartments up there when you bought the property?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you do to correct the infestations you had?
Sir, the situation, most tenants, when they don't have enough money to pay the rent, they will start. When you do have eviction notice, they will start calling the code enforcement saying, I know she said something about bed bug in the apartment. However, when I rented the apartment, her son and his wife moved in. Now, we're talking about the efficiency room, 3 people staying in it. When I asked her, they must leave, you know, you're the only one allowed to live in the apartment. She called the code enforcement on me, and we do, I did hire a contractor correct all the violations that Mr. Sanders mentioned on the papers, and I have.
So you're working on that?
Well, I asked Mr. Sanders to go ahead and inspect it because most of it is correct, and he said nothing I could do about it till you come to the meeting about the license that's been expired. And I'm not aware what is going on now.
So you have receipts from your electrical contractor and
yes,
the plumber and all
the
that work is done?
And the spray bug and the bed bug, yes sir, I do have.
I have a question for the inspector. You say it's currently under M1 use. When did that code change?
They made him aware, and I had to check into it also because I was surprised by it, because the remedies that I was asking him to do, and he was going to fill that to get into compliance, and we recognized that he had to state, you know, get the state license because it's 5 units or better. And I was just main concern with the code issues. I was made aware by P&L that the use has been changed, that he cannot get this license for that use anymore. It has to be taken back to a storage facility. So
what you're saying is the moot point
at
about the code enforcement salary compliance and can't be apartment on top of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm more interested in this. You said it when you thought it was a health and safety issue. Has that been corrected or not?
I haven't been there to inspect since. If he's willing to let me come in, I'll let him testify that he's had it exterminated or, you know, had the rats exterminated. I couldn't answer that question at this time.
You're saying that he can no longer rent these units. When it's a storage unit,
yeah, I don't
believe that.
That's just that one unit.
No.
All of the units.
There's a remedy that may, and I'm not going to answer to it, but he can possibly apply for a grant since it was changed and it was already there. That's
totally up to whoever he calls up with that.
Well, that's not up to us. So I guess that what we're here to do is find out whether or not the property is in compliance or not in compliance. The pictures show that it is not in compliance, not fully in compliance. So if there are no objections, I'm going to entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Hines, second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. I thank you. So we'll see you next month. Confusing, okay. Anybody left?
Yeah, 22.
Well, let's that it? We're on case 20. Let's do finish this page, page 6. 22. CEB 09-17-107, Robert Stearns at 308 Kingston Avenue.
This is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector Terry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that the property remains in non-compliance. He's asking for next call for it to be brought into compliance.
Okay. And any no contact? No nothing? Okay. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Hines. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, we're done with page 6. Page 7. Page 8. We're on page, back to page 9. Up to page 9. 38. CED 0917-101 at 553 Derbyshire Road, Adabasuja. Respondent not present. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I kind of got off a little bit.
Hold on. Page 9.
What happened to case 24?
Number 38. CEB 09-17-101. Okay, what are you asking about?
It's in compliance. They were in compliance?
24 and 24.
The boat storage?
Yeah. Yeah, then we did a will find on both of them. 24 and 25.
So we're not
quite
now
compliant.
Okay. I think we started it while you were returning, so you may not have been at the DS yet.
That maybe. 25, I have nothing.
Well, I called the meeting to order because we had a quorum and you were walking in. I just, at that point, I assumed that you were hearing what was going on.
You did, between the time I walked in and got up here, you got two cases.
We did. Mm-hmm.
Case number 38, Madam Chair.
Okay,
that's a determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mark Jones. He reports that the property is currently non-compliant, and he's requesting next call for the property being brought into compliance.
Okay. Working without. All right. No pictures or anything. All right. There are no objections. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. We are on case number 39, CEB 10-17-124, same person at different address, 530 Cannon Street.
Madam Chair, said the inspector is for compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mark Jones. Reports that the property remains in non-compliance and asks for next call for the property to be brought into compliance.
Okay. Anything to add? Carol, no objection. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance. In order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 40, CEB 10-17-125, Lloyd Haynes at 626 Madison Avenue.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports he has had no contact with the owner. The property remains in non-compliance. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
Okay. Can I just, Mr. Jones, have you talked to, did you, I forgot to ask you this, did you talk to Adiba Suja at all?
No, I've had
no contact. Okay, another no contact. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. 626. All right. Any questions?
When you say that there's no contact, do you show what you know, put a notice on the structure? Or how do you notify them?
I mean, yes, these were on both of them. They were contacted, they signed on the 530 Cannon, a certified mail was delivered and signed for on August 23rd, and on the 553 Derbyshire, they received their violation by certified mail on May 15th. I then had no contact
back
from
them. That's kind of what we assume, I think. Okay.
Right, no response.
No response is really, I guess, what we mean. All right. So on case 40, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Jones. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. On page 10, case 41, CEB 10-17-126, Kimberly Alford at 1062 Madison. Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector, Mark Jones, reports the property is in non-compliance and requests next cutoff for compliance.
All right, there. Would you like to say anything about that?
Yes, they have removed the vehicles. This is what it presently looks like. They just have one more unlicensed vehicle that they say they'll have removed from the property before the next cutoff.
Okay. So they've cleaned up the outside storage as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that should be taken care of by the next cutoff. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and/or the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 44 on page 10 still. Angela Pagan. At 548 Spruce Street.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property has been renovated without permits. And it's also a rental property. Inspector Mark Jones, so Mr. Jones reports it's in non-compliance and requests the next cutoff for it to come into compliance.
Any questions for Mr. Jones? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So
moved. Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Page number 11. Case 48. CEB. 10-17-133 Orbit Real Estate Development Corporation, 120 Madison.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for compliance or determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that the property is in non-compliance. We request next call for the property to be brought into compliance.
Okay.
Is this a commercial piece of property?
Yeah.
It is. Spoke with the building owner and the tenant. They pulled permits to fix all the issues, and I think they have the electrical to do. And they're going to call by Monday afternoon for the final inspection and for us to come out and do our code enforcement inspection also to clear the matter up. He assures us it'll be done by next couple.
All? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion? Mr. Harrington made motion. Second. Mrs. Hines, all in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's see. Now we're on 49CD. 10-17-134, Laura Beck Enterprises.
Chair, members of the board, this is before you for compliance and non-compliance. Inspector Jerry Sanders reports the problem is in non-compliance. Next call to come into compliance.
It's been like that for a while, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this was done during Hurricane Matthew. Mm-hmm. They went through... Never did fix it.
And did they ever talk to you?
No response.
Mm-hmm. No response. Okay. All right.
That's in a redevelopment area.
That is?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a redevelopment area.
All right.
If it hasn't gone there.
What?
It's written up.
Yeah, why wasn't it written up sooner?
Because we had went through the hurricane of last year.
Yeah.
And we allowed that time to fix everything, and then that was cut off, and then the code enforcement was, and I just came into this area not long ago either, so.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Let's sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Now we are in case number 50, the bottom of page 11, CED 10-17-135, Peter Scheitz at 506 Fifth Avenue.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. The report of the property is in non-compliance. They ask for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
Okay. Have you had any contact with the owner?
We had one contact with him. He said he was going to get it fixed and apply for the rental license, and I haven't heard from him.
Okay. Okay, well, there's nothing on here about a rental license.
I'm sorry. That was the next case.
Oh.
I decided at two different times,
okay.
So I'm sorry.
Okay.
For the violations, he was supposed to give them fixed.
Oh, okay.
I'll testify to the next.
All right. Well, we'll do it separately. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent to commit to compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, same person, same place. Okay.
Same
failure
same
to
same
obtain the license. Okay. Anything to add? Do we need to? All right. Here's case number 51, CEB 10-17-136, Peter Scheitz at 506 Fifth Avenue.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, as you indicated, this is the same property. We elected to leave it separate because it was separate notifications. Mm-hmm. And the inspection report is in our compliance next cut off the company compliance.
All right. Any questions?
I have a question. Second violation by the same landlord. I, just for my information, is the fine increased when it's a second violation by a landlord?
This doesn't have to. It could. It won't be watching the title matter.
They're separate cases? Is that what you're referring to? That they're separate cases?
They may be separate cases.
Yeah. So it's fine for each one?
Yeah.
For each case?
I think you may be thinking the question of whether or not it's a repeat violation.
Right.
Well,
no.
Violation.
No.
No.
No. But, yeah. All right. Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliant or respondent commit to compliance by the next cutoff date and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carried. And case number 52 is continued, so I think we're done with the cases.
Did we get them all in?
We did. Did it all. It's only 10 after 12. Good. Is there any other business? I know that we had started in the beginning of the meeting to talk about Mr. Smart and seeing if we could get in touch with him. I didn't
know
if
you know him.
So we could send something.
Oh, John? Okay, yeah. All right. So if there's nothing else, I'm going to adjourn and then we can talk about this because I don't want this on the record. Well, I think not.
Case is closed.
Unless?
Yeah, it was
a real
thing. I guess from a Robert's perspective, you actually can come back at the end of the day. This was...
I'm sorry to bother you so late. I appreciate you listening to me.
But I didn't
say you were
listening
to
me. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The motion to reconsider the case.
What you need to hear or what his request is for reconsideration if he's making one?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the basis of it?
Do we open the case? What do we need? Do we wish to allow the case to be reopened?
We reopen the case just because he wants to talk. We don't know why we should. What, other than that, what is the reason for reopening the case?
We have to vote to open it.
We have to vote to open it, and then I guess we would.
Yeah.
Mrs. Himes made a motion to reconsider the case.
Do you want to withdraw or you want to keep it?
All right. Motion has been withdrawn. Would anyone else like a motion to reopen the case? All right, there's no motion to do that, so we're not going to hear that. The case ruling is as decided. Being adjourned.